With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Have the cash to entice them. You're going to have guys who not only, as you say, want to prove themselves, but those names you mentioned, are those guys going to take veteran minimums? I mean, on the text line here, 510, Rick, who are the six guys that are going to leave? Well, it could be seven. I mean, Looney is a free agent. I think they're going to try and keep him. Quinn Cook, Jonas Jerebko, or as he says at home, Jonas Jerebko, Jordan Bell, Andrew Bogut, DeMarcus Cousins, and then Livingston might retire. There's seven guys right there that might not be on the team. So, you know, with all the money you're going to have, if they sign the supermax or the max anyway to Durant and to Clay, those guys are going to be eating up $80 million of the cap in plain clothes, at least Clay until February, if everything goes well. So you're going to need guys. Does Patrick Beverley want to come in on a veteran's minimum to be the starting two guard? They're going to need a starting two guard. Do they want to put the Curry brothers together? I think, you know, if somebody's offering you the veteran minimum or somebody else is offering you 2 years at $15 million, it'd be pretty weird to turn that down. But I said they're going to have to get pretty creative here. Vince in Berkeley, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, how are you?
Good. How about 65? The new number of games as a trial to see if it minimizes injuries still keeps, you know, keeps the revenue coming in. But you know, as you could see, you can tell all the injuries are hitting point of diminishing returns. There's some subtleties in Kerr's comments. I'm not even so much subtleties. He's been pretty outspoken about the too many games rule. Do you think Adam Silver has any of actuaries calculating what can possibly be a new schedule change? What are your thoughts?
All right. Thanks for the call, Vince. Look, this kind of came up when LeBron was doing the load management, because never in the history of the league did you have a team that wasn't going to the playoffs that was resting as if they were resting for next year. And so Adam Silver said, look, if 82 games is too much, we got to take a look at it. And then Kerr chimed in and he says 75 sounds pretty good. There are about 8 games a year where we're dragging. That was his quote. And but the thing is, knowing human nature, if you make it 75 games, then they start dragging at 67 games. You know what I mean? It's I don't know if there's a magic number that where guys start wearing out, but we've had this number for a long, long time. I think most guys are acclimated to it. The playoffs are a long, long road, talking about basically 2 more months of basketball. I'm never for shortening any season unless there's a very good reason. There's no empirical evidence that will say injuries will be cut down if we eliminate this many games. You could probably find somebody to come up with a chart, but I'm just not going to believe it. It's such a nebulous thing. Chilton Autobody, text line 95795. 510 says, Rick, I also was there when Purvis Short was there. I want you to say, I was there when Purvis Short was really short. That's how long I've been gone. Let's go to Martin in Concord. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Loving the show today.
Thank you.
You know, one thing I was noticing about Curry is that all season, pretty much, he's been playing only three quarters and still getting the beating from all. You know, he's a target because he's the best there is. Now comes the finals, and they want to give him extra minutes and have him play the fourth quarter and an extra beatdown from a very physical team. So I can see why he was dragging, and I don't blame him. And I hope nothing against him. I don't think he looked flat. I thought he looked as sharp for a guy with an extra workload. And I give him a lot of credit. I give the whole team a lot of credit. I only moved out here a couple of years ago, and I always thought that the Warriors were just strictly a finesse team. But the end of that last game, they really showed some street fighter. And I love that. And that last 9 minutes, I was rooting for him.
Thank you for the call, Martin. I appreciate it. Yeah, I got you. And I think I already knew the toughness, but I can understand some people just thinking that they were a team that just shot threes. But if you really watch this team over the last 5 years, you saw the toughness, the mental toughness there. 408 says, Rick, is it wrong for me to think we should just sit this year out, play the bench more, keep Steph and Green fresh, wait for 2021 and Clay and KD to come back, and then go for it? Well, what would possibly it's not wrong for you to think it. It's dumb for you to think it. What would the Warriors possibly gain from that? What are you going for a lottery pick so you can have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick? You're going to ask Steph Curry and Draymond Green to throw away two of their prime years? No, it's and plus a meteor might hurt the earth and we all be dead anyway, and we took the year off. So I have to disagree with you there. Joe and Pinole, what's going on at Fernandes Park?
Hey, Rick, how you doing, man? Hey, Rick, what do you think? Now that the Celtics are out of the Anthony Davis thing, do you think that the Warriors would actually deal with the Celtics and maybe possibly, send Iguodala or maybe even Draymond for like a draft pick, maybe a Jaylen Brown or something?
All right, thanks for the call, Joe. I don't know what the Warriors have to offer the Celtics. They're not going to offer Draymond Green. I firmly believe the Celtics could have had Anthony Davis if they were going to part with Tatum. I don't think they wanted to. I don't think that would have been smart of them to do. I mean, look, I understand you get the unibrow. You're really going for it. And even if it was a one-year rental, we just saw the one-year rental completely pay off in Canada. Not only a one-year rental, but a guy who didn't want to go there, a guy who was disgruntled and sat out almost the whole year, and they still won a championship. That's just how good Kawhi Leonard is. But, I don't know what the Warriors would have to offer. I mean, you want to trade Draymond Green to the Celtics for Jaylen Brown and a pick? The NBA draft, to me, is so trash. And it's just, it wasn't that long ago. It was 15 rounds. And then it went down to 12 rounds, and then it was 7 rounds, and now it's only 2 rounds, and the second round picks don't even get contracts. And then you have teams that'll do a draft and stash. Even when LeBron was in Cleveland the first time, and all they had was Boogie Cousins and Drew Gooden from El Cerrito High and Anderson Varejao and an elderly Shaq, they draft a guy from France and send him right back to France. You didn't even take a guy from March Madness. Just look at the Final Four. Take one of those stars. No? So sometimes the draft is two guys deep, three guys deep, five guys deep. There's always a guy you find at the end of the first round and a couple of second round picks that turn out to be stars. Later picks, like a Klay Thompson, a guy like that. If you redid the draft, he would have gone one or two in that year. So I don't want a Celtic pick, which is near the end of the first round, for Draymond Green. Are you insane? Josh Eberle on the other side, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's Rick Tittle.
Old guitar is all he can afford. I keep waiting. These music beds kill me because I keep waiting. I want to hear Dire Straits right there. Rick Tittle with you. Thanks for joining us on a Saturday night. Where are my night peeps out? Well, they probably haven't even woken up yet. I was in London and I knew this guy and he was like one of these ravers. I'm too old for such things. But my friends and I were going to meet him at a club. And I'm like, what time are you going to get there? He's like, I'll be there about 4 o'clock. I'm like, 4? That's kind of early. 4 a.m. I'm like, you're going to get there at 4 a.m. I got, no, it'll be long asleep. 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us. And your call's always welcome at 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Let's go to Josh Eberle, our friend from Hoop Magazine. And Josh, just what did it mean to the entire country of Canada to bring that trophy home?
I mean, it was really exciting, and it was nice of the Lakers and Pelicans to give all of Canada 44 hours to celebrate before the news cycle changed.
Well, I mean, the Raptors said we need one more day in Vegas, right?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I mean, it's honestly been crazy. To be from Western Canada, to be outside of Toronto, there just hasn't been a culture of basketball fandom. And to go around, and, I mean, this is a silly story, but I'm at the grocery store yesterday, and I'm wearing a Raptors Finals hat, and I have a guy coming over to me in a We the North shirt, and he's like, "We the champs, bro." And it's just different. There's never been this collective shared experience of basketball fandom, and it really did pick up.
Well, one thing that the Blue Jays and the Raptors have is not just Toronto as their market or Ontario. They have the entire nation as their market. And we do know how different Canada is, like out on the West Coast and in B.C., like you said, and you got the oil fields of Alberta, the plains of Manitoba, you got the Maritime provinces, you got the Quebecois who tried to secede at one point. And I've always been told that if you aren't from Toronto, you don't really like them. They're kind of like your New York. And is that true? Do you guys kind of look at Toronto and go, eh, if you're not from there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing with the Jays and the Raptors is they kind of had this untapped market of Canadian fans who wanted to have a team, but it always felt like it was Toronto's team, not Canada's team. I mean, we went 10 years without them coming out to anywhere other than Vancouver or Montreal to play a preseason game. It's crazy that it took them this long to really tap into that, and I guess winning certainly helps. But props. I'm impressed by the Canadian knowledge flexing there.
Happy about that for sure, eh? Do you get offended by that?
No.
Okay. Does anybody ever call you a hoser?
Not American. but you know what? I do appreciate – I've been on so many shows, guest spots in the States, where they're like, "So you're in Calgary. It's about an hour from Toronto?" Nah.
Well, the next question is, you know, I know that Kawhi was offered a free luxury condo and free food for life, and people say, how can he leave? And yet others say, hey, it was fun while it lasted, but I got to go to SoCal. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think going into the finals, you know, I'll trust Mr. Thorpe and Mr. Abbott, solid sources. They don't speak out unless they know something. That Toronto was the vibe and the mood. And then following the championship, I thought, you know, maybe it's a mission accomplished feeling where there's no work to be done. He came here, he did what he wanted to do when he got here. They took care of business. Maybe he feels free in his own mind to just go home without any guilt. And then today, this trade, I'm wavering. I'm like a piece of grass in the wind, but does this not maybe make him stay in Toronto? Golden State still there, even with the injuries. The Lakers look like they might be the next super team. Why not run it back 1 year and a 1+1?
For those who don't know, it was a steep price the Lakers paid, but they finally did get Anthony Davis from the Pelicans. They sent Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and 3 number one picks, including the number 4. They were able to hold on to Kyle Kuzma. So we'll see at the end of this year whether he decides to stick around. And we just saw with Kawhi that the one-year rental paid off big time. But we know that David Griffin's there, so it's a different guy doing the deal than during last season. But what did you think when you first heard about this?
I think, you know, and this is funny, a funny trade to use, but like the Cleveland scenario, I thought when Cleveland dealt Kyrie Irving, given the hand they were dealt with him, you know, pushing his weight and allegedly threatening to have a surgery and cancel the season, they did well. And I think that's the same case for the Pelicans. Griffin came in here, he had the meeting. Now, wasn't unable to change Davis's mind. Everybody knew it. There wasn't a lot of leverage working his way. The draft's creeping up. I think given that fact and push the Lakers further, got a few extra picks, possibly a 4th first-round swap might be in there. Details still coming. I think he did well. That being said, I'd always rather have the generational superstar. And for all the talk on Twitter right now about this is going to rival the Celtics-Nets deal and yada, 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 I'd much rather blow my whole wad on 26-year-old Anthony Davis than wash Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
And the other thing is that the Warriors are going to be down a Clay and a KD, even if they decide to sign. So you think, geez, if we're going to do 1 year in the West, this is the year to strike.
Well, let's not underplay the Deion Waiters possible acquisition. Because at least one person in California will think they got another superstar.
No, I can see that as well. By the way, we're speaking with Josh Eberle, writer for Hoop Magazine. Do you see this draft as 3 guys and then just a bunch of guys? How are you looking at it?
No, I don't see it that way. Like, I'm not someone who spends a ton of time during the NBA season watching college ball, and I'll admit I'm not the guy you should talk to if you want an in-depth breakdown of every prospect. But whenever I hear that about the draft, I kind of laugh because those are the drafts that people aren't sure about. You know, to me, that's we don't know what these guys are going to be at the next level. And in those drafts, that's when you have a Nikola Jokic. That's when you have a Draymond Green. That's when you have a Paul Millsap, a Kyle Lowry, a Rajon. It's the drafts where the prospects aren't clear-cut, where somebody later in the draft ends up being a star. And it's in those same drafts where a couple of those top picks don't pan out. Now, I mean, R.J. Barrett's been nitpicked to death. People think Zion's going to be an MVP, but I think people are always hyperbolic with the draft, and I think people are almost underestimating this class because there's so much of an echo with it.
When you saw that Nick Nurse, I mean, there was one thing to gamble on Kawhi. You go, okay, we're sick of just being the team that goes in the regular season and then gets knocked out by LeBron. Well, you go, okay, there's no more LeBron in the East, and you get Kawhi. But here's a guy that won 59 games in Dwayne Casey. He's the coach of the year, and I know he kind of chimed in, like, I wish I had Kawhi and Gasol when I was coaching. But yet Nick Nurse, pretty unflappable. Did you see this coming?
I mean, no. I think when they got Kawhi Leonard, there was a sense of this is a team that can go to the final. And that was kind of, you know, where they were at. Like, this isn't a team that you're thinking can upset Golden State. They're not the clear-cut team in the East with how good Boston was on paper. And Philadelphia and Milwaukee kind of came up and surprised the people. But, you know, you knew this team had a finals potential if things went right. And they did. And this is why you have that team. And, I mean, like, for all of the stupid sports cliches, like the puncher's chance, get there and see what happens, that's what happened. I mean, they got to the finals. They were playing at a very high level. They caught a break with some Golden State injuries, and they won a championship.
The other thing is, too, is, like I said, I don't make excuses. Whoever plays, plays, and the what-ifs of people were healthy or not. But if you think about the Warriors had troubles with the Clippers. Then they had to fight through Houston. Portland was also decimated. They got through them. But you think about all the mistakes they made at the Coliseum in Game 6 and all the turnovers and all the missed free throws, and yet there they were with 9 seconds left, about to win that game. And when Danny Green threw the ball away, I thought for sure the Warriors were going to make that shot. What about you?
Yeah, I did too. I mean, there were a couple times in Game 6 where I really thought the Raptors were going to blow it. Before Clay went down, I would have bet that we had a Game 7 tomorrow night. It felt like they were playing well. And I also think, like, again, I'm like you, there are no excuses. You can only play who's in front of you. You know, there are injuries every year that weigh on the playoff results. But you know, you got there and you were that close, and it was so close in 5 and so close in 6. It's not like the Warriors laid down and died. And for all of the prevent defense and the box in 1 and Curry not shooting well, they were there. I mean, Andre Iguodala stepped up. Clay was having the series of his life. It's not like this was some sort of limp job. I mean, they fought as hard as they could fight.
You know, it's funny. I kept waiting for Gasol to stop being Dirk. They did get that in Game 6. He was the only guy. I mean, he was 0 for 6 from the field, and he only hit free three throws the entire game. But, you know, here's Siakam with 26, Lowry with 26, Van Fleet and Kawhi, 22 each, Ibaka, 15. There's too many guys in double figures. It was just too much.
You know, you got Mark coming down. He certainly wasn't Dirk, but I mean, Fred Van Fleet ended up being Jason Terry and Jose Juan Correa.
Yep.
So pick your poison, yeah.
What do you think now? When you look at the Warriors, and you know, I'm a lifelong Warrior fan, and it hurts to lose, especially when you have a three-peat in front of you and the terrible injuries. But my head is held high because you talk about the heart of this team. Toronto is so good, relentless. They play defense like the Warriors I don't think have seen in these last 5 years, and yet they still were almost able to win Game 6. What's your impression of this five-year run?
Well, I'll answer this kind of long-windedly, and I'll say, you know, fans always talk about would they rather be a good team for a long time and not win a championship, or win a championship but not be good for the next, you know, 10 or so years after that. People talk about that all the time. You know, as a Dallas Mavericks fan, I would not trade that 2011 title for anything. Now, all the jokes since, Dirk not having any good teams in the twilight, it was all worth it to see him get that ring. Now, if you're a Warriors fan, you got to see 3. You got to see 5 years. You got to see the best record over a four-year span. You got to see the first unanimous MVP. You got to see the 73-win team. You got to see an MVP-caliber player walk over after you spanked him, broke his soul, join you, win two finals MVP for your MVPs for your franchise. I mean, you could not ask for a better five-year span as a fan. And I think despite there's some context and not three-peating might hurt them in some historical conversations, but I think if we're being honest, that 73-win team and the year followed up with Kirk Durant, this is the best two-year run. This is the best two teams 2 years in a row, I think, ever in history. And you can make that case. And people were making that case before Kevin Durant got there. So if you're a Warriors fan, this may be an end, it may not. But, man, you could not ask for a better 5 years.
And not only that, I think if I was a Toronto fan, this feels more of accomplishment than if I had, like, beaten Houston. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's so many angles. The two main ones, I mean, Kawhi going down when he was on the Spurs, the Zags that closed out, getting to be there and be part of the team that knocked off the Warriors, that's a huge moment. And I hope even the bitterest of Spurs fans can appreciate that some. And then secondly, if you are a diehard Toronto Raptors fan, and granted, there are a lot more Raptors fans now than there were a year ago, which is great, but if you were a diehard Raptors fan, you know, you wrote for Kyle Lowry for a lot of years. He's been disrespected in the All-Star game. He does all the little things well, but he was noticeably off at times during the playoffs. There's a playoff game this year. He had 0 points. To see him come out in Game 6, maybe have the best game of his career and the biggest game of his career, have 11 straight points to start that game, that's just got to be such a gratifying moment.
And finally, you know, we're sitting here wringing our hands over who's coming back to the Warriors, how much money they're going to have. They're so top-heavy with stars. We know Kawhi's situation. What's the situation with other guys on that team? Who are you worried about losing?
For Toronto?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone. That's the interesting thing for the Raptors. Like, Danny Green's already said he wants to be there. I think they'll work something out. They've got Pascal and OG, who are the future for that team. You know, Lowry, Ibaka are there for another year. I don't think Marcus Saul's going to opt out of his deal. You know, should Kawhi decide to come back to Toronto, given the climate of the NBA and Durant possibly leaving, Clay and him being out for a year regardless, I mean, there's no reason on paper they can't be a contender again next year and run this back.
You know, it's funny. Right now I'm looking at the odds. They have the Raptors fourth favorites at 8-1 at Caesars. Your thoughts?
It's interesting. You know, my co-host for my podcast, Jabari Davis, was running me through these earlier this morning. And they had the Lakers at number one, the Clippers at number three, and the Raptors at number five. So they've dropped even since then. And I got to say, like, there's all sorts of hedging going on, because if the Raptors are number five, how are the Clippers number three? But, you know, I think at this point, you've got to wait and see what happens at Kawhi. Like, I wouldn't feel super confident betting on him staying or leaving at this point. But if he's there, I mean, there's not a better team in the NBA right now.
That's Josh Eberle, a writer with Hoop Mag. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Eberle. And listen, Josh, as I said, it hurts to lose, but the Raptors won fair and square. They didn't cheat their way there. They earned it. So enjoy it, because it feels pretty good. I know how it feels.
Yeah, no, it's great to have the shared experience for sure up here.
All right, thanks, Josh. That's Josh Eberle, everybody. Once again, follow him on Twitter at Josh Eberle. And I mentioned those odds from Caesars in Las Vegas. And here are your top 10 favorites to win it all. The Lakers, after this Anthony Davis acquisition, yes, the unibrow is now going to be in L.A. Lakers are 7-2. Fear the Deer is tied with the Clippers. The Bucks are tied with the Clippers at 6-1. Do they know, are the Clippers getting Kawhi? The Raptors and the Rockets are the next, tied 8-1. And when was the last time you saw the Golden State Warriors? Well, it would have been more than 5 years ago. They come in at 11-1. That's still better than the Sixers, 12-1. The Celts are 13-1. Denver, 15-1. And then Nets, 20-1. Knicks, 22-1. The Knicks. Why aren't the Knicks 500-1? Do they know something we don't? Do they know a free agent that's going to be coming in? Because those are pretty unbelievable odds for a team that was so rancid to be 22-1. But we'll keep our eye on that. Lines are open at 888-957-9570. It's again 888-957-9570. You can always shoot me a text on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. 925, do the Raptors get invited to the White House, or since they are in Canada, where do they get invited? Well, probably you'd have Justin Trudeau taking them to the Capitol in Ottawa, I would think. It is the National Basketball Association when it really should be international because there is a team in Canada, but they're not going to change it. When the Expos were up there, it was still the NL. Obviously, it's still the American League that the Blue Jays play in. We won't get into the semantics of it all. But I would have a feeling that Trump would rescind the offer anyway, wouldn't he, after what happened with the Warriors? And Kevin Durant had all, remember, he's a kid from Maryland near D.C., and he took all the kids and took them to the African-American History and Heritage Museum, and there was no press allowed. That was a pretty cool way to celebrate it when they were in town to play the Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz, by the way. But on the other hand, if they did go, he'd probably serve McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, except he'd pour a lot of maple syrup on top and bring in some Canadian dignitaries like Sasquatch and Frosty the Snowman and a couple of beavers, something like that. 510 says, I think KD would like to be closer to the Hillsong Church pastor in New York City. I also think he'd like to be an NYC superstar. And do you think there's a possibility he'll walk away from the game? No, there is zero possibility of that. This guy, he even said it on his Instagram, laying there in a bed with an IV in his arm and those tubes going up his nose. He loves basketball. All that would do was hurt him. He's not Bjorn Borg and going to retire at 26. I do get, and people argue with this with me. They completely disagree with me, but I do get the Nick vibe because there are three cities, at least in my life, that I've been in, and I feel like a rock star just walking down the street, and that's Paris, London, and New York City. You just feel cool, and I know that sounds stupid. All right, it also works in El Sobrani, those four cities. But you just feel cool walking down the street. You're like, man, I'm – and there, where is – what is that, like West 32nd where MSG is and Penn Station, you come out. There's the Garden. Now, if you want to look at it and say, Rick, they're only important because it's New York, and I understand that. It's like the Jets. The Jets don't mean anything, but we kind of feel like they're important. The Jets have never won the AFC, ever. When they went to Super Bowl III, they won the AFL. This is a team that has never even won their conference in their history, and we talk about them all the time. Why? Because they're from New York. I'm walking here. The Jets, J-E-T-S. They don't matter, but we think they do. And it's like the Knicks. The Knicks don't really matter, but we think they do because they're at Madison Square Garden, and everybody's going to talk about them. That's just how it is with New York. But if you could go be the savior of the Clippers, and the Clippers have a lot going for them, great coach, two ones, two twos, good young stars, room for maybe two max players. You're in L.A., but no kid grows up and dreams about looking down and seeing Clippers. Now, no kid outside of the Bay Area dreamed of anything saying Warriors, too, until about 5 years ago. But the Clippers haven't got there yet. And they have a very ambitious owner, Ballmer, paying $2 billion. There's a lot to like about playing for the Clips. I just don't think anybody thinks, ooh, if I could only be a Clipper. But yet, if you could be the savior of the long, dormant New York Knickerbockers, does anybody still call them Knickerbockers? Do people still say Trail Blazers? I think they're just Blazers now. It's like the Supersonics just became Sonics. But I do see that appeal. To be in New York City, to play for the Knicks, and to be the guy that brought the Knicks back from the grave, to wake up the sleeping giant, and then just to be in downtown Manhattan half the year, that to me sounds, I can see the intrigue. Now, I talk to a lot of people, and they're like, ugh, New York, what a dirty bathroom, everybody's rude, there's traffic, it's horrifying, it's freezing cold in the winter, it's so crowded. Yeah, the subway's better than BART. Subway's safer than BART, too. Now you go on BART now. What an outhouse on rails. And I got to take it every day. It's just a fact. And they're raising the prices, and it's getting worse. I love how the economics of that work. That looks great. All right, I'll keep it sports. I completely get why the Knicks thing looks that. And any other team that stinks like the Knicks, I don't get it. I don't know why you'd want to go. Now, if you want to go to it, and the other thing is, do you care about what people say? And what I mean is when, you know, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world saying, this is the most cowardly act. You went to a team that's already good. When he left the Philadelphia Inquirer to go to ESPN, did anybody say, how could you leave your newspaper for more money and fame and furthering your career? I don't think anybody said that to him. By the way, Stephen A. Smith, he was at the finals. He's my height. We're both 6'2". I always thought he was a little kind of weaselly guy. Didn't you? I don't know. He always seemed like he was, I don't know. Anyway, if you care about, you know, what's your legacy? I don't want people panicked about legacy. Legacy is going to be decided after we're all dead. So, you know, what's your legacy going to be? Your legacy is you're one of the best players of all time, and you got rings, and you got two finals MVP. If Durant retired right now, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. That's just the factual statement. But, yeah, you can go to the Clips, and if you want to live in L.A. and all that, I can see that attraction, too. It's just like if you can put on a jersey that says Knicks and you can put on a jersey that says Clippers, to me, that's not even a choice. And it's just not when you want to be the savior, not when you want to be, oh, you need help. You know, and he doesn't need help. It's like, you know, saying it would be like saying, oh, Jordan couldn't win without Pippen and Horace Grant. And no one says that. I don't know why he gets all this hate. I think because people are jelly on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's Rick Tittle.
All right. Thank you for that. And everybody listening at Santa Rita Correctional Facility. Little song for you there. Taking you till 9 o'clock. Would love to hear from you as we talk sports at 888-957-9570. Once again, 888-957-9570. And you can chime in on the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. This segment is completely about your interaction, your feedback, and y'all's and your calls. Get in the queue. We'll talk to you. We'll have John Taylor. We'll switch to baseball in about a half hour. Still talking about basketball. And we're as the dust is settling and we're going to see what's going to happen. We got a draft coming up. The Warriors actually have a couple of picks. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, Bob Myers, geez, all you ever picked, anybody who was any good was loony and that's it. Well, like I said, I don't hold it against him. This is not like whiffing on first-round picks in the NFL. These bottom of the first-round picks, yes, it's nice if you get a star. And Damian Jones has been hurt. We know that. We know they bought Milwaukee's pick in McCaw. They bought Chicago's pick in Bell. They drafted Jacob Evans III, who I guess is a pope or a king. And by the way, Jacob Evans III, that game that they won in Toronto, game five, and Kawhi Leonard's coming down the lane. He looks, there's a white shirt standing there, and it's Jacob Evans. That's why in soccer you wear the penny or the little vest. You have a team wearing white, and then you have the other team wearing white T-shirts. But anyway, that was his contribution. But Jacob Evans at the University of Cincinnati, he averaged 11 points a game. And, you know, that was the best guy in the draft at that point, according to the Warriors scouting department. And you just expect him to come in and people say, oh, where's the youth movement? The youth movement? The Warriors are win now. There's no youth movement. You know, you just hope that in this series where half the games were, at least four of the games potentially were going to be north of the border, the rest of the Collie. That's why they called it the Border Collie series. You hope they could you know, find a guy on the cheap that could get it done. And I'm not mad at Quinn Cook when he misses shots. It's like, is he getting paid $40 million a year? Every time he makes a shot, I feel like it's gravy. You know, and it's kind of funny because after the game, I had to stay till the bitter end, unfortunately, even though I had a 5 a.m. show here the next day, but I went to all the press conferences and I go, okay, that's enough. And then as I'm leaving, I would never walk into a champagne-filled locker room. I did that once with the Tigers at the Coliseum. It's just no fun. But you smell that stanky champagne smell. Kawhi Leonard was actually standing right next to me trying to go to the podium. He just drenched in that champagne. But Steph came in the white suit. You know, he gave his propers to Toronto and everything and said, we'll be back, to paraphrase. And then as he's walking out, he goes left and I go left. I'm trying to get back to the media room. And he's walking really slow. Now, I can't get by him, and there's like three cameras on him. And, of course, wherever he goes, everybody's staring at him, even though they're like Toronto players staring at him. And I see he's FaceTiming, and there's all these cameras. Then I find out later, because I'm in the shot, that he's FaceTiming Drake, saying, Drake going, oh, man, you played a hell of a series. And Curry's like, ah, it kills me. You got us. But, man, it kills me. And I thought, we've come a long way since Super Bowl 15, January 25th, 1981, at the New Orleans Superdome, when the Raiders beat the Eagles. Then you got a call from the President of the United States. Remember that? It was a tradition, and then they finally got rid of it. But it's Coach Flores. Yeah, President Reagan's on the phone. Yes, Mr. President.
Well, I wish I could use that defense against the Democrats on Capitol Hill.
Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, congratulations, and you deserved it. Go and enjoy it. Well, enjoy it.
Thank you, Mr. President. It used to be kind of a thing where you couldn't even hear the president. And then it would be like, what did he say? What did President Nixon say? Oh, he said congratulations. And they realized that that's just a dumb tradition. It was like, hey, you just won MVP. Where are you going? I'm going to Disneyland. Remember when Jerry Rice didn't get that and he had a fit? And I don't blame him. He's like, where's my Disneyland at? How come I didn't get it? And they're like, all right, maybe we need to get rid of that too. Super Bowl MVP, if you didn't know, they always get on a plane and the next day they'd have a parade at Disneyland. And then I think they made a Disney World too. But yeah, we've gone a long way. Here's a fan who's FaceTiming Curry right after they lost the finals. And that just shows you again how magnanimous Steph Curry is. Because, like, Drake wants to FaceTime you, even though you just lost the NBA finals less than an hour ago. I would have said, tell Drake I'll call him later. That's what I would say on the outside. On the inside, I'd be saying, you got to be effing kidding me. The nerve of this jackass. He wants to FaceTime me? But that's me and that's them. They're more cool. They're bigger men than I am. They're more respectful. But I would be like, that's the last thing I want to hear is from him. But then again, if somebody had a tittle tattoo, and there are only 12 people that have them, maybe, remember, Drake does have a number 30 and then a word underneath it. Something like perseverance or anti-disestablishmentarianism, something like that. 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line is 95795. And the other thing is, too, you know, all year, and this was this thing that was getting KD's goat and his sheep, is that people were saying, I have it on good authority that he's going here. He's going to opt out, and this is where he's going to go. And it was Ethan Strauss. Now, these guys, they get information, and they print it. I hold nothing against them. If they feel the information is legit, then they put out a story. Our old friend Rick Bucher, who I saw at the finals, he was there, gave him a pound, said hi. He's Rick with no K, saves on ink. And he said a couple months ago that it was a done deal, that he was going to be a Knick. It was a done deal. Now, maybe he was right. But the thing is, this is why you shouldn't say that. Because things happen. You got to wait. And not only do you have to wait and see maybe somebody blows out their Achilles, unfortunately, but you also see that maybe somebody doesn't want to go there. Or maybe they're changing their mind. And then you have the Rajah Bells of the world, former NBA player on CBS Sports. As soon as it was revealed that KD had a torn Achilles, he goes out there and says, he'll never be the same again. You know that? Who are you? God? He'll never be the same again. Nostrabellus. You know, Dominique Wilkins had an Achilles surgery, and his scoring average went up. You know, it's just I can't stand it when people make these statements when you don't really know. It was like Johnny Manziel. Speaking about our former colleagues here, I had this man crush on Khalil Mack at the University of Buffalo. And Aubrey Huff, who was working here, went out of his way to say, if the Raiders don't draft Manziel, that's going to set the franchise back. They're going to regret it forever. And I looked at Manziel and I thought, that guy probably has a 10% chance of doing anything. And I watch him in college and it's exciting, but everything's a busted play. He's just running around willy-nilly. Now he's exciting. He's making plays happen. He's look at the accuracy on the run. But I thought, this guy's a clown. And that's the last thing the Raiders need, is yet another clown. So I prayed they didn't draft him. But there was 10% of me that was intrigued. Remember, Jerry Jones said his son Steven took the card out of his hand that said Johnny Football on it. He wants to be known as John Football, by the way. And they drafted Zach Martin, guard, Notre Dame. That's not sexy. Oh, it's not sexy. The guy's all pro as a rookie. The right call. Ask Ezekiel Elliott and ask Dak Prescott what they think of Zach Martin. But that's just the intrigue. But I had people call me as I sat in this chair saying, Johnny Manziel will never make it in the NFL. I guarantee it. Like, how can you guarantee it? And I'll tell you this, if you think you're right, he beat the 49ers. Do Niner fans remember that? I remember when the Dennis Erickson Seahawks came to the Coliseum and Gino Toretta beat the Raiders. It can happen. Salesian high. It can happen. Then he went to Pinole. So it's just for Rajah Bell to claim that he'll never be the same. I'm kind of glad that he did say that, just to give KD that much more fire. By the way, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Rick Tittle with you for another hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll have John Taylor, Duran Duran guitarist and 49ers Super Bowl hero wide receiver, and baseball writer for Sports Illustrated. And then at 9, I'm turning it over to the network, and that's going to be just amazing programming from the network. But if you want to call in, you got to do it this hour, 888-957-9570. Now that it's 8 o'clock, where are my Saturday night peeps at? That's right, bad grammar and everything. Let the manhole lids lift up. Let the garbage bin doors swing wide open and emerge onto the streets. 888-957-9570. And it sounded almost like a verse. The blood will flow down the staircase of hate and let loose the dogs of war. I didn't mean it. All right, let's go back to the Chilton Autobody text line. No one is asking the real question. Do the Raptors visit the White House? Yes, we just did ask that. I think he would. I don't know why they would go to the White House if they're in Toronto. I think they would go to Ottawa. And Justin Trudeau, 650. Rick, it was unfortunate that Cousins could not elevate to control the final rebound for the game-winning six-footer in the middle of the paint with no time remaining. Yeah, there were a lot of things that were too bad. You think about with a minute left and Draymond brings the ball down and he does that swing pass to Cook. Now, here's the thing. If you look at that, that made Draymond look really stupid for throwing the ball away. But on the other hand, why Cook didn't flare, I don't know. That was the only place he could go for the pass. Now, you would have liked if Draymond could have waited till he got there, but he probably couldn't. Cook went the other way. Cook went towards the baseline, which meant Draymond would have had to have passed the ball through two people. You know, you have to keep that in mind. But, and that's nothing against Cook. That comes with experience. So all people see is Draymond throw the ball away and yell at Quinn Cook, and you're like, it's not his fault. Well, not technically, but a vet would have known to flare because there were two guys in the way if he went the other way. There's just little nuances like that up and down, and it is hard. Also, when I was before Game 6, when I was in the area in between the Coliseum and the Coliseum Arena, there was the super fan, I forgot his name, the Sikh gentleman. I don't know his name. Nav? His name's Nav. He's the guy who has been to every Raptor game. He wears the jersey, Superfan 95, and he waves a towel and when there's a free throw, and if the Warriors made the free throw, he'd throw his hands up in the air like, oh, what happened? And then if they missed, he'd high-five like he did it. And that's fine. Super fans, there are super fans for every team. But the thing that I think is funny is that there was a long line of people taking pictures with him. And it's kind of like Marlins guy. And then there was somebody else trying to be Marlins guy. When I was a kid, there was this John 316 guy who had a – he was a white guy with an afro, and he had these horrible, like, President Buchanan cheekburns. And, yeah, but people wanted to take pictures with him. So even there were Warrior fans lined up to take pictures with the Raptors superfan. Because I guess he's a celebrity now. And it reminded me of working at Super Bowl 50 at was doing my syndicated show on Radio Row at Moscone Center. And every sports broadcasting group in the world is at Radio Row. And here's this embarrassment of riches interviewing, you know, sitting down with Gale Sayers. And I'm dropping names now, but it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I remember Roger Staubach waiting his term to come on my show. That only happens at a Radio Row at the Super Bowl. But on the Friday, they allowed the fans to come in and stand on the periphery and watch all the broadcasts. And then you had a chance to ask for autographs when everybody was done. So here was, you know, Raider fans. There was Marcus Allen, Niner fans. There was Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott. There was Brett Favre, Troy Aikman. It goes on and on. Just some of the all-time greats. Lenny Dawson. But there was one guy who by far had the line went around the block. Everybody wanted an autograph, and everybody wanted to take a picture with Papa John because he's the guy in the pizza commercials. Yes. Isn't it like John Shatter, I think? Shatner? Schnatter, I think. He's not even Italian. Papa John, you're German. You're killing me. But super fans. But, you know, that's kind of our era now, though. You know, it's like if you can take a picture with a super fan, a selfie, and then tweet it, maybe you get a lot of love that way. 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line. Rick, what do you think of the Warriors' new logo? You know, it's funny because, and I bring up Super Bowl 50. Rick Welts actually sat down with me at Super Bowl 50. And we found out that both our names were Rick, and we high-fived. But, you know, great guy, really smart. By the way, going into the Hall of Fame, fully deserving. But Rick Welts was very honest. And this is, remember, you know, almost 4 years ago. And they were talking about moving to San Francisco. And he said that they did plan on changing the name back to San Francisco Warriors. But they had just won a title. And with that title, that the Golden State Warriors name was now established worldwide. And he said it, we would just be shooting ourselves in the foot if we changed it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.